French.
French.
Today, listening, as I was driving, I had, I don't know what news station it was on, but maybe you saw or heard of this accident that took place today on I-95, just outside Washington, D.C., a gasoline truck was driving, a tanker truck, and the driver noticed that his back rear tire was deflated, and then it caught fire as the rim heated up, it exploded in the flames. He tried to pull over. But if you've ever driven in areas of a metropolitan area, there's some people that just don't care if your gasoline truck's on fire. And I got to tell you, having been back east several times, quite a few times actually, you guys, even in downtown L.A., we've got it good out here. You guys are much more courteous of the driver. I mean that. Back east, as I mentioned on Sunday, we were back there and doing some work, and we were taking a walk, and ambulance, fire trucks, nobody pulls over. Nobody gives those guys the right of way for nothing. It's very rude. Today, this guy was trying to get over. Now, I don't know about you, but if I saw a gasoline truck on fire, I'd get out of there. But they wouldn't let the guy over. So finally, he made his way over to the side of the road, and he got out of his cab, and he ran into the woods because he knew that thing was going to blow. And it blew. Nobody was hurt. Everybody's fine. But they had the driver on the news tonight, and I was listening. And the guy goes, "What can you say?" And he said, "All I can say is I can't wait to get home to kiss my wife and my kids, because tomorrow's going to be the best Thanksgiving ever. I have my life." And you know what? Listen, yeah. The truth is, this guy, and how often is it that we have a brush with disaster that then we give thanks? Have you noticed with all the hurricanes, the people that have been affected by Katrina and everything that's gone on? You know, one of the first things that they'll tell you, their home is gone, their animals are gone, their city's gone, but they'll say things, you know what, we're thankful we have our lives. And we don't often think like that. We've got so much around us that to be thankful for, we don't often do that. But what happens is the things that we should be thankful for, they cloud our thinking, they cloud our expression of appreciation and thanks to God, and we wind up missing so much until things are taken away. And then we give God thanks. Do you not realize that tonight God could, if He wanted to get some thanks from us, He could take everything away from us tonight. He could, you know. And then we would say, "Oh, I'm so thankful, you know, that I had this while I had it, or that while I had it. But look, we have our lives tonight." He could do that in a second, if He wanted to, that we might express corporately our thanks to the Lord. And wouldn't we be a lot healthier people if we just thanked Him all the time? We have so much to be thankful to Him about, and I want to just share a few things tonight, and then I want to get out of the way, and there's a microphone there, and there's a microphone there. I'm going to tell you up front, be thinking what you might want to thank God about publicly tonight. And you know what? I know that, you know, there's not a whole lot of people here tonight. A lot of people must be on the road or traveling, but there's enough to whereby if we do share tonight, be quick to the point, give God thanks, and be on so the next person can speak. But how encouraging it is that when you hear from others about what God is doing. The basis of this evening, and I want to ask you this question as I kind of give a little bit of a devotion right now to prepare our hearts. How many of you were born in a foreign country? Raise your hand. You were born in a... Raise your hand high, please. That's a lot of you. What kind of countries are represented here tonight by your birthplace? The Philippines. Where? Chile. Where else? Mexico? Hong Kong? Lebanon? Germany. Louder. Trinidad. Where else back here? Did somebody say Thailand or Poland? I said Thailand or Poland. I meant Poland. There's a big pole there, no. Beautiful country, by the way. Peru.
Nigeria.
That's right. My brother-in-law was born in Nigeria, and the same day I was, but I'm a day younger than he is. Where? Columbia. I'm sorry. I can't. My contacts are acting up. I can't see you, Mercedes. Bolivia.
Indonesia.
Where at?
Taiwan.
El Salvador. This is amazing. Keep going. This is great. Where?
England.
What?
England.
I thought I'd understood English. I would have understood the English part better. Is there any more?
Canada.
Argentina, Canada.
Vietnam.
This is so fun. I had no idea. Wow. Did we miss any?
Romania.
That's so great. Listen. A lot of people make the mistake in thinking that Thanksgiving tomorrow is an ethnic holiday. You know it's not. It's not a white man's holiday. It's not an American Indian's holiday. It is a holiday for us who are Americans. These countries that we've heard, think about it. That's the most wonderful thing what God did regarding America, is that we all come from these various backgrounds of the world, and that's what makes an American. You know, you're not American is a different person altogether. We can be from Taiwan or from Germany or whatever our background might be, but to give God thanks, of course, is a spiritual discipline, and we're to do that no matter what country we're from. But the amazing thing is, tomorrow celebrates people having come from a distant land or lands to worship God in freedom and in truth.
Amen.
And the beautiful thing about all this is that if you live in America, if you're an American, this should be a celebration that if we are not going to be, listen, if we are not going to be racial, if we are not going to be, bias or whatever, then we've got to give him thanks on Thanksgiving, because it doesn't matter what color you are, from what country you are. It is a corporate celebration of worship of those who live in America, from whatever color, background, nation you've come from. I know someone here in this church that just this year became an American. And it's a neat thing to think, because, gee, I wasn't born here, so I can't celebrate Thanksgiving. You've missed it altogether. God is on His throne. He called people to come to America to enjoy freedom and to express their thanks and praise to Him. It's a wonderful thing. A few things to keep in mind tonight before we share. Let your thanks be heard. And I want to just touch on a few things. Give you some scripture. Leviticus 22:29, God says this, "And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will." The word in Hebrew is willingly, with a joyful heart, being mindful of thanks unto God. Be cheerful. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "But this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And usually, and of course the context of that verse is financial, but I'm not applying it that way tonight. Whatever you thank God for tonight, let it come from a cheerful heart. We are to present ourselves cheerful before the Lord. Matthew 15:36, God says there in His Word that He, Jesus, took 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks. Psalm 50:14, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High God. And so it's a time tomorrow where families and friends will get together and celebrate around a table the bounty that God has provided for us. And we do this as a tradition. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a good discipline of ours to exercise, to be thankful what God started here, and a great experiment, as we'll hear in a moment. But it's a time to reflect on the thanksgiving that was offered up by William Bradford, the governor of Plymouth. when he made a proclamation the first official day of Thanksgiving to take place in October of 1621. You know, we forget that America is as old as it is, in a sense, 1621. But I want to read you a few things. But what were they thankful for? 1 year after arriving, the pilgrims stood at about half of the original number that had arrived a year earlier. Not quite. 1 year earlier, they had arrived from arrived into New England from Holland. By the way, they went from England. They went from Europe to Holland before they came on over because of religious persecution. A lot of people don't realize that the pilgrims left England because of persecution and headed to Holland, where it was safe, and then headed off to what would be America. After 66 days of journey on the North Atlantic, during the first winter, 47 of the original 102 pilgrims lost their lives to starvation. Bradford wrote, quote, "If it were not for Squanto, the young Indian, the second winter might have claimed all of our lives," close quote. Earlier, Squanto had been taken captive by slave traders and was carted off to Spain, where he was purchased and then set free by his purchasers, by those who bought him, and taught the Christian faith in Spain. He made his way to England, learned the English language, and then returned back again to America. He was there to welcome the pilgrims at their first arrival. Squanto taught them how to plant corn, which, if you know the story, it's corn that saved the pilgrims, and to plant corn. And in New England's rocky soil, they learned, he shared them the special knowledge of the forest and of the rivers. And Governor Bradford said concerning Squanto that he had been sent by God to be our Joseph in time of need. Isn't that neat? We trace not only our Christian heritage to this brave band of pilgrims, but also our country's solid foundation of self-government. The Mayflower Compact was signed even before the pilgrims landed. It laid out the ideals of government by consent of the governed. Think about it. And made clear their purpose, quote, "undertaken for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith," close quote. Boy, does this need to be taught in public schools today, huh? This is American history, my friend. Plymouth Rock is the place where those pilgrims first set foot on America's shores. The great French political scientist, and I can't pronounce his name, Alexis de Tocqueville, wrote about this scene in the classic 1835 book he wrote, Democracy in America. He wrote as one of Europe's first to recognize the change that was taking place. He said, and I quote, "In the course of human events in America, religious freedom was the key to understanding democracy in America." Isn't that something? Listen to this. In 1609, approximately 300 colonists arrived in Jamestown. That winter, because their food supplies were exhausted, 80% of the people died from starvation and disease. 1620, 102, I mentioned that a moment ago, of those that came across on the Mayflower, over 40 of them died. 1621, the pilgrims dedicated 3 days for Thanksgiving to be a feast to give glory and thanks to God. 1689, during the next 74 years, 4 North American wars would rage between England and France. The final conflict, the French Indian War, caused Britain to tighten its grip on the colonies, a major miscalculation that eventually led to the American Revolution. In 1776, America declared its independence from England, and it was a David and Goliath setting. And without historical precedents, America won its independence, the world's first colony to break away from a parent nation in history. The America you sit in tonight. It had been a miracle. Even George Washington said, and I quote, "It will not be believed that such a force as Great Britain, after 8 years of military employment, could be so baffled in their plans by men oftentimes starved, almost always sick, and certainly without pay, and experiencing every distress which the human nature is capable of enduring." Close quote. Yet soon after the war, 400 armed war veterans circled the makeshift congressional building demanding their unpaid wages be brought to them. And it went on to say that we were anything but a nation united. New Jersey instituted its own customs service against the other colonies. New York negotiated independently with foreign nations with its own treaty, anything but united. 9 of the 13 states maintained their own private sectors. 7 states printed their own currency, good only within their own borders. Many passed tariff laws against one another's states. Isn't that amazing? We were like 13 independent nations, much like Germany would be independent from France, even back then. Yet somehow these colonies and their people in a war-torn America became one nation. A nation ruled by the laws of democracy to safeguard the rights of its citizens. The right of worship, as one might please, and the right to speak boldly about the things of God. George Washington said it was a miracle. Isn't that fantastic? Abraham Lincoln said, "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their own dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow." This is a president speaking. "Yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord." Man, I tell you what, George ought to read this on the TV tomorrow. "We know that by His divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world. May we not justify fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins, to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagine in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us." He sounds like a preacher instead of a president, doesn't he? "It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people, and do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart the observance of the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our benefit Father who dwelleth in the heavens, Abraham Lincoln." Isn't that awesome? Man. It's beautiful because if you read what George Washington wrote in 1789 of the Thanksgiving Proclamation, which, listen, much often in history, Abraham Lincoln is given the credit of the decree I just read you a moment ago, but a lot of people don't realize that Abraham Lincoln. It was found, the original proclamation of George Washington. George Washington's proclamation was lost. It was later found in Washington, brought to Lincoln. Lincoln read it and said, I've got something to say. And reinstituted what George Washington had given God thanks for. Church, very quickly, listen up. We need to practice Thanksgiving tonight and from this time forevermore. We need to make it a discipline of our lives. Number one, listen, especially if there's some young people in here. You need to practice Thanksgiving because you know what? It will change the attitude of your heart. It will cause you to stop blaming people for what's wrong in this world and give thanks to God for what is right. People, when we begin to focus on all the things that are wrong, we will be thankful for nothing. Because there will always be something wrong. And when we begin to be a culture that says this is wrong and that is wrong, when we begin to be a people that just blames and complains, you will never succeed in anything. You will never be able to stand upon your own two feet. You will never be able to be a viable worker in this nation, let alone your own church. Because you'll grow up to be, or we will become a people that says something like this, what's in it for me? And how come I don't have? He's got it, why can't I have it? You'll be unthankful, unholy, and unforgiving. Because we will become a nation of entitlers. I want this. I deserve this. I deserve the other. I saw a sticker. We've all seen the sticker. I've got to go to work today. It says something like that. I have to go to work today because there are millions of people dependent upon me on welfare. I got to go to work. I got to pay my taxes. I got to pay into the system because there's a lot of people staying home today. And I have to pay for them to stay home. The German, if you saw on the news, the German economy currently is in an absolute shambles. Because they have a system that they can't afford now to have anymore. So many people go to work in Germany to pay those extreme high taxes. And if you're unemployed in Germany, the government puts you up. They'll give you 400 euros a month. And they'll give you a shower and food and a place to stay. Think about it. And now the nation's going broke because it can't keep such things going. When we begin to be a people that's unthankful, we begin to be a people that just sits still and puts our hands out. Listen to this. I'm going to give you just five simple things. You don't need to write them down. Just put them in your head. And this is personal for me. If it's personal, maybe it helps you. I don't know. Practice thankfulness. Thankfulness, the Lord says to my heart, to Jack. Why? Number one, because it enlarges my reality of God. When I'm thankful, in fact, I love... Jeff was saying earlier before service, this is a great, great celebration tomorrow. Thanksgiving Day. How long are they going to allow it to be Thanksgiving Day? You know, pretty soon we're going to have to change this holiday. Why, right? Because it implies that we're to be thankful to someone. Who is it? Yeah, God. Think about it. Thanksgiving! You know, you are, but the people outside these doors are not smart enough to ask the question, hey, who are we thankful to anyway? They're just looking for the sale on a turkey. Who are we thankful to? Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify Him. Number two, I need to practice thankfulness because it takes my eyes off of myself. Psalm 95:2 says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. And let's shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Wow. I need to stop thinking about me. You know what? I can afford to stop thinking about me. And you need to stop thinking about you. You want to know why? God's thinking about you already. He's already got you covered. He's got me covered. I'm told in Scripture to think about you. You're told in Scripture to think about me. We're told in Scripture to think about the person next to us instead of ourselves. Our problem is we think too much of ourselves. Look, you have to admit, because I know it's true in my life. When I started worrying about me, I see all the things that are wrong and what, you know, oh no. When I forget about me, everything seems to be going fine. When I think about what I missed or don't have, then I get all wigged out. I need to stop thinking about me. Number three, I need to practice thankfulness because it opens up my heart toward others. No matter how poor we might be in this room tonight, we're rich compared to somebody else. We're very rich. You say, well, I'm on welfare. Well, you're not hungry, are you? There's countries in the world, most countries in the world, people are going to bed hungry. We don't even know what that's like. We don't have to be hungry. Four, it causes me to appreciate what I do have. You know, before prayer, before the service tonight, we were praying, and you know, think about it, everybody. If God stripped us naked tonight, if we were just naked tonight, we lost everything, would we not still be responsible to thank God for all the stuff that we had and what we do have now still? He said, but you're naked. Well, yeah, but you know what? I don't have tubes in my nose. I'm not strapped to some hospital bed. I may be naked. Look, I can sew some fig leaves together and get covered up, but we're alive. We have each other. And then finally, it causes, and I think this is the most important thing, when I'm thankful, it causes happiness in the heart of God. He loves it. He loves when we're thankful. And so I want you to be thankful tonight, and I just want you to express your thanks. But the time that we have remaining, you don't have to go to a microphone, but it would be kind of cool if you did because everybody could hear you. But you don't have to. But will you make your way to a mic if you'd like to? There's one there and there's one there. And we'll kind of just alternate them back and forth. But think of this. With the breath that you have, could you allow us in on what God has done in your life so that we might be better equipped to thank Him? We want to hear from you. Okay, look, there's two people over here and there's none over here. Somebody from this side needs to... Thanks, Jeff. Kathy Jo.
Hi, Jack.
Hi.
My name is Kathy Jo, and for the last year, I have been exceedingly ill. And I got to the point where, during the middle of the night, I was just crying out for the Lord to take me home. And you know what? I would kind of pray for like little temporary healings, like, Lord, get me through the night. And then finally one day I thought, I can't take it anymore. So I was at Louis Chicken Cafe with Ron and Alan and a bunch of other believers. And I said, you guys, tonight after service, I'm going up front and I'm going to have someone pray for me for a healing. And I think Rhonda said, we could pray for you now. And I said, no, don't bring it. Save the A game. We're getting healed later tonight. So I went down to the front and Tom Worthington and Chris May prayed for me, and they laid hands on me and anointed me. And anyhow, it ended up in a very quick surgery. I really was sick, and I am healthy now. And I know it sounds like it'd be easy to give the glory to the doctor, but he could not get me in until January. And it was within 2 days of being prayed for that he called me, and he said, I have an opening, get in here. Mm-hmm. He saw me that day, and he said, we're booking you in through emergency. So anyhow, just glory to God. I didn't even know what it was like to be able to eat and not vomit immediately afterwards. So wow. Thank you so much, and just praise to God.
Over here.
Hi. I just wanted to share with you guys that this last year has been really hard for me. I've been feeling really sorry for myself and just always really inward looking at my own heart and getting really depressed. And the Lord has just been opening my eyes lately and showing me how much to be thankful for. And I just want to say that I'm really thankful for all the gifts that He gives each person in His kingdom and all the blessings He gives each one of us, because when we need each other, you guys are all here, and I have a place to come. I have a place that's different than the world that I have hope, and I just have hope in Christ. And so I'm just really thankful for this place that I have to come to every week and for God's word and Him to come to every day and just all the gifts that you guys all have you guys have just been all a blessing to me. So thankful for all you guys this year.
Tony, is that you? Okay.
Just want to say, And next February, me and my family will be attending the church 10 years.
All right.
And I just want to say, with the holiday season, that I've been praying for a lot of people this whole year. Yes. People who I don't know what God told me to pray for. And the most important thing that I want to say is if you're going on the road to speak with see family who's not Christian, just pray for them. And of course, the holiday season, that's not my favorite year because so many people die on New Year's Eve and drunk drivers. So all I got to say is that just pray for anyone who doesn't know Jesus. And one more thing. Starting next Thursday, I start a new job. I got a promotion. So keep me in your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Tommy. Jeff.
Well, the Lord just laid on my heart, just thinking of what he's done and thinking of how Adam was a thief and how I'm a thief and how he stole from a tree. And then the new Adam, Jesus, hung on a tree and turned to a thief and said, "Today you'll be in paradise with me." And I just have to thank God for his grace that he's given me and give him the glory. Amen. And that's what I'm thankful for.
Amen. Thank you. Yes.
You know what? The Lord has done so much in my life. It's crazy. He's pulled me out of so much. I was just sitting here praying the other day, and it was like, you know, I can't believe I'm praying. I can't believe I'm reading the Word. What's all this about? I used to be in all types of crazy stuff. Been around the world, and it's just so awesome to see the Lord change my life. It's so awesome to see him give me a new family and you guys. I'm serious. I'm so thankful for you guys all. You guys really hold me up in my relationship with God, with, you know, with your love and your kindness, your encouragement. You know, it's awesome. I thank God for that.
I appreciate that. I think, again, my contacts are acting up tonight. I can't see very well. Was that Julie Figueroa that had spoken earlier? Was it Julie? You know, when I wasn't sure, I would have said it then. You know, Julie was thanking all of you for being who you are in the Lord and all. Julie, you know, she comes here and she serves here and she makes things better for you. You may not know that, but her family, she's so faithful. She comes here so faithfully for years. And, you know, she's just a blessing. And I want you guys to keep Julie and other women that are like her here in this church who've been abandoned, but they never left the Lord. Their husbands walked out on them and left them, but they never left the Lord. And so raising children, raising many kids, you know, this is a family. This is a body. And I don't know about you, but I don't think my brother would appreciate this right now, but he's not here, so what? You guys are, I'm closer with you and you're with me than I am my own flesh family with blood. And the Lord showed me years ago that if blood is thicker than water, then the Spirit's thicker than blood.
Amen.
And that's what you guys are to us. Yes.
I just want to say thanks to the Lord for bringing me and my husband here about 8 years ago. And I saw you speak one time, and we decided this was our home. Since then, I've come down with cancer twice, and you guys have prayed for me, and the tumor is still at half the size in my head that it was almost 3 years ago. This March 2006 will be 3 years that found the tumor in my head. I thank this church for their love. I thank General Grace for coming by and always saying hello and seeing how I am. And this church is a witness to my next door neighbor who hasn't been to church in years. And she's wondering when the love of this church is going to stop coming to our house because she's never seen it before. And since then, she's been here a few times. And I just want to thank the Lord for you, Pastor, and your wife, because I love you both. Thank you.
Did you say that you have a tumor still? Yeah, well, that's not good enough, though, right? I mean, let's just pray for you right now. Lord, we just ask you that you would invade, Lord. Not that you have to at all, but Lord, you've required, you've asked, you've demanded of us to pray for one another. And Father, we pray that you would heal, remove completely, Lord, this tumor. And Lord, may it never come back. And Lord, may she know nothing but good health and Lord, I just thank you for her heart, her humble attitude, and her desire to praise you in the midst of affliction. Thank you, Father. I'm sure it's so sweet to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks. Richard.
Yes, Jack, I just wanted to say that, if I can get this out, I'm thankful for my beautiful wife, and my beautiful Savior. And I'm constantly amazed at the fact that both my wonderful Wendy and my wonderful Jesus never get tired of forgiving me as I stumble through life.
Oh, that's Thank beautiful. You. Wow.
Hi, my name is Alyssa.
Hi.
I'm taking a leave of absence for the semester from college. For the past couple months, I've been dealing with bipolar disorder, and at one point, I just lost the will to live. And then I heard a voice in my head saying, "Don't jump off that building." And who else could it be but God? And I thank God that I have the will to live, and that I have a reason to get up every morning, and that He blessed me so much with friends and family and a wonderful support system, and it's amazing how in our weaknesses God works the best in that.
Yes.
And I thank Him so much for that He loves me and every one of you so much.
That's awesome. God bless you. That's great.
Hi, my name is Tracy. What I wanted to share with you is the most recent thing that God has done that He deserves lots of thanks and praise for, is that after 8 months of unemployment and unemployment benefits ran out, last week He brought a job to me, or me to the job, whichever. I started this past Monday, and it's a great place. I'm really happy, and just praise the Lord.
Isn't that great? Love it.
Hi, I'm thankful for the odd series of events that brought me to Calvary Chapel Church. But what I'm really
too.
Excited about is for about, maybe the sixth time I decided to quit smoking again this year. And I joined the women's Bible study, and I'm convinced that it is because of these wonderful women supporting me and praying for me. Thank you, April. I'm on my 32nd day.
Great.
And I'm really thankful.
That's wonderful.
Hi, Pastor Jack. My name is Mel. And I really haven't shared this too much to anybody, but I'm a pilot for United Airlines, and I fly 767s. And the Lord, in September 11th, 2001, on September 10th, kept me away from the cockpit. I fly Boston, New York, and Washington. And at the time, I was a reserve in line to fly one of those flights. And 2 years prior, God put me in a special assignment. And on September 10th, I was in a meeting. So instead, my friend Jason lost his life on Flight 93.
Yeah.
And God kept me alive. And so it's really hard at the time to really understand, but the only thing that really made me understand for the last couple of years was that the Scripture is really alive and said that to really trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. And because of that, in my prayers, I know that he has me in my hand, in his hand, and that it doesn't really matter what I do in life, is that when he wants to take me home, he'll take me home, but when he wants to fill me for him. So that's why I'm thankful, and it's been interesting for the last couple of years just to live life for Christ.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
My name is Carrie, and this is my first time here. I'm coming
From
Greg's church, Harvest Christian Fellowship. My boys and I have spent the past 7 years at Harvest, so we moved here in August, and I'm thankful that the Lord waits for us, because 3 months I've been struggling. Diamond Bar, here, Raul Reese's church, or here, which one? And my middle son's school teacher called me, and we were talking about support. He said, well, you know, Calvary Chapel Chino Hills is a great, tight-knit church.
Huh.
And so I had been praying for confirmation. So it's been a very rough 3 months for the Lord putting a squeeze on me. I've been kind of like Jonah, you know, going to Tarshish when I'm supposed to go to Nineveh.
Yeah.
And I was really greeted by some wonderful people when I came in tonight, and I've had a friend who just said that you're great, and it's good to be here, and I just really feel more comfortable than I thought I would. So.
Did you say you went to Harvest?
Yeah, I was in the ministry over there. I've been going actually to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, since 81, and then we moved out in Corona in about, I think it was late 80s. So we started going to Harvest.
Wow.
So 7 years, and it's just... I have a hard time letting go.
Oh, yeah.
I still want to go
That's
there,
a great
you know, but
church.
I have to move and to see where the Lord's going to use me here. So I'm just grateful that He waits for us, you know.
Yeah.
He just waits. He's so patient and long-suffering. And so I'm excited to see what He does for us here and for you.
I love what you're saying. I love what you're sharing. And how many of you maybe came to the Lord through Pastor Greg? I know I did. You know, I understand. When Lisa and I moved from Costa Mesa, I'd come to the Lord at Costa Mesa through Greg Glory when he was there, but raised with Pastor Chuck. But coming out here, I mean, we felt lost.
Yeah, I was really hoping that the Lord would move us back to Costa Mesa where I'm from. I work out there too, and it just didn't happen. And I was saying, why? This is what my plans were. And it just didn't work. But, you know, His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts higher than our thoughts. And sometimes we just can't see.
Yeah.
And so last night I spent 4 hours on the 91, both the east and the west, to try to get home in the 60. And I just prayed. I just said, Lord, I surrender everything. I don't know what You're doing. Mm-hmm. Are You punishing me? Or or is it Satan? You know, which one is it? You know, I couldn't decide. And I just prayed that He would just, you know, take hold of my fingers and help me to let go and to just surrender and embrace the new. And so I came in tonight, and it just feels so good. It feels like
I'm so glad you came.
So, yeah.
That's great.
So thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. So
that's
really
so great.
It.
What a great example. Yes.
Hi, my name is Christine, and I've been saved 3 months. Thank
All
God.
All right. Welcome.
So I'm very thankful for that, that the Lord waited for me. And I'm also very thankful for tomorrow, because tomorrow will be my first Thanksgiving with my whole family. That's really exciting. For all these years, I've been with my mom and my brothers and sisters, and I'm the oldest of 7 kids, so it's kind of been kind of tough, just, you know, me and my mom and helping out with the other kids. And it's just wonderful that now my dad's back home, and the Lord brought him back home, and we're going to get to celebrate Thanksgiving all together. And I feel so excited, like a little kid, because I'm 27, and I feel like I'm 5 years old. Just can't wait for tomorrow's dinner to have mom and dad together, and not just that they're together, but that the Lord is with them, and they're both walking with God.
That's so great.
So I'm very thankful for that.
That's so great. Yes.
Hi, my name is Malcolm Mitchell, and I'm grateful to be here tonight. I actually didn't plan on coming tonight, but ended up talking to my girlfriend, Marta, and she's with her two sons, Nick and Thomas, and kind of got challenged. She didn't really challenge me, but just the fact that they were coming tonight challenged me to come, because I was initially just wanted to go home, kick back, you know, have a beer, and think, hey, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. This is a good way to prepare for it. And, you know, I'm honestly grateful for the message. I feel like it really challenged me to be more grateful and consider everything that God's given me, because I don't spend enough time doing that. And I feel like God's been giving us a greater desire to obey Him. The obedience, we need help being obedient, yet just the convictions that are we get from hearing the message and getting more involved are there, and we just want them to increase. And so I thank God for the hope to see Him work in our lives.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Renee. I am thankful for several things this year, but to be here at this church, I'm thankful for the Extreme group that meets on Friday nights, for Eve and Chrissy. They are awesome, and
yes,
their hearts and their dedication to Extreme, and I'm closer with everybody there than I am with my own family, and I'm just so thankful for that. But I'm also thankful for the children's ministry. I have a 5 and a 7-year-old, and when I was 7 years old, I did not know one book of the Bible. My 7-year-old daughter, she knows every single book of the Old Testament. I just need to help her with the first letter, and she can tell me what every book of the Old Testament is. And I just tell her, Kayla, you're just so awesome. How many kids out there who don't know what any book of the Bible is? And she can tell me all the books of the Old Testament. It's just so awesome. I just see such a sparkle in her eyes, and she's working for the gold medal for the Swordsman Club, and she doesn't always remember her scriptures, but she's working so hard at it. And just thank you, the children's ministry. You're awesome.
That's so great. Thank you so much. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Pastor. My name is Bob Baker, and I want to thank God for His Son, Jesus Christ,
Amen.
My Lord and Savior, who saved me 31 years ago and gave me a hope and a future. And I want to praise God for my lovely wife of 58 years, Mildred Baker, over there. The Lord has blessed me with 79 years of age. He's blessed me with 2 wonderful daughters. He's blessed me with 5 grandchildren and 6 great-grandchildren. And I want to thank God for this fellowship. And I've been around different fellowships, but you don't know how blessed you are to be here. And this is the closest thing to heaven, I believe. And I thank God for you, Pastor, and for all of my brothers and sisters. I praise His holy name. Thank you, Lord.
We are. And we're all grateful to Him, as He's a World War II veteran. And Amy.
Hi, Jack.
Hi.
You probably already know what I'm going to be thankful for,
yeah,
but a lot of my brothers and sisters here don't know. And I'd feel I'd be remiss if I didn't publicly praise the Lord for the most amazing miracle, except for my own salvation, that He's worked in my life. There's a weird echo in this, so it's weird. Sorry. Last year on New Year's Day, I, rather than making a resolution, wrote out my list of goals that I want the Lord to accomplish in my life. And one of them was, I started thinking back on all the years when I went a whole year without leading anyone to the Lord. And so I just prayed that God would help me to lead at least one person to the Lord every year. And the year was kind of ticking on. I had gone on the Heidelberg mission trip, and I got to share the gospel with people, but I didn't actually lead anyone to the Lord, not that I'm aware of. And when I came home, I continued what I'd been doing prior to that, which was visiting my father, who was in the hospital. He had fell in the parking lot and fractured his spine and was paralyzed in the Veterans Hospital in Seattle. And I was a flight attendant, so I had benefits to visit him. And so I continued visiting him, continued reading the Bible to him. And on August 26th, my mom and I had the privilege of praying with him to receive the Lord as his Savior.
Awesome.
And we had been praying for him for 15 years. And 4.5 days later, the Lord took him home. And as we're worshiping tonight, it's kind of hard to worship, but at the same time, it's the most beautiful experience of worship I've ever had, because I realized that my dad is there and the holy angels are there. My friend Rose is there. And it's the one time in my day when I can join with them in something, and we're worshiping the Lord together. And so I just want to encourage you guys, too, to just be thankful for every family member that you have. You don't know how long you have with them. And just be thankful for another Thanksgiving you have with your family.
I love it. Praise God. I love what Amy said. Keep that in mind. If you've lost someone, you haven't lost them. You know exactly where they are. I mean, they're with the Lord as they've trusted Him. When you worship, when you engage in that, just know, of course, according to the Scripture, they're worshiping the Lord in heaven. That's something that you can do with them together in spirit. It's pretty awesome. Yes.
Hi, my name is Christopher Taylor, and I'm thankful for my beautiful wife who loves the Lord and fears the Lord and worships the Lord, and just what a incredible thing that the Lord brought her into my life. I'm thankful for my new job. And I'm thankful for Extreme, the college and career ministry here.
Amen.
And for the amazing revival that is taking place in that ministry right now. And for my brothers and sisters as that the Lord's brought into my life, as we encourage each other to, just like this last month, we've just been encouraging one another to pursue righteousness and to count all things lost. And it's a question we ask each other, hey, man, are you counting all things lost today? Are you pursuing righteousness, you know? Are you setting your mind on things above? And I'm just thankful to be a part of something amazing that the Lord is doing and to be alive at such a time as this.
Amen.
And I'm also thankful for turkey and brown and served dinner rolls.
Yeah. That's right.
Hi, Pastor Jack. My name is Gloria
Figueroa. Oh, Gloria, you got to get closer to the mic.
My name is Gloria Figueroa Balthus. And I'm... came to this church when it was still on, I believe, Edison.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to get into that because I'll start bawling. But I heard you. You made me come back to God. I've been chasing after you ever since. We commute from Arcadia, California.
My
daughter-in-law is Julie Figueroa.
Oh, wow.
My family who brought me to you is the Nava family, Gabriel, I mean, Louis, Lisa, the whole general family. And I've been chasing after you. I even went to get baptized. I'm an ex-Catholic. I wanted to be baptized because I wanted to know what it was like.
Yes.
When I was baptized as a baby, I didn't have a word in it. But you opened my heart. You opened my mind. Lisa and the women's ministry, the church, everybody here, the greeters, everybody has become my family, whether you guys know it or not. And I had very bad trials before, but God even gave me a new husband. And he provided me with a car so that I can always be here for service, for Wednesday, for Sunday, for ministry.
Wow.
And I believe that God did all this ahead of me, because at the time when I came to you in 1998 on Edison, we weren't sharing like we share now. And I had wanted to ride my car off the 71 freeway. Mm. I came to that point.
Yes.
But because of you, the way you teach, the way you bring us together, the way you teach us to love God, I'm still here.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm a grandmother of 11. Mother of four, and I think you got pretty much all of us involved with God.
So, praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing that.
And Lisa and the church.
Thank you for sharing that. That's precious. Yes.
Hello, everyone. I'm short, so. My name is Jasmine, and I'm really thankful just for the fact that I'm here, being able to share with you guys, and I'm thankful to the Lord even for the bad stuff and things that happened to me, because I learned from them. But the most recent thing that happened to me that I'm really thankful is that my sister was pregnant. And unfortunately, she lost the baby on November the 1st.
Mm.
But like a week ago, she found out that she was having twins, so she still has one in there.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And I just want to tell her that I love her so much. Monica, I love you.
Wow.
And I thank the Lord so much. That's it.
That's great. Well, this baby that's coming just deserves double the love, huh? Wow. And you know what the beautiful thing is? You know, man aborts children, and the Lord in his wisdom, it's infinite, will never know. But when a miscarriage takes place, that's the Lord at work. The beautiful thing is that that baby, you know, we'll see that baby in heaven. And that's going to be amazing. I mean, it's just going to be absolutely amazing. Yes.
Hello. my name is David Moriel. I'm really thankful for all the family that God has blessed me with. And about 6 months ago, I became unemployed, and I was searching for a job, and I got married about almost 3 months ago, and I was really sweating not having a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then about 2 weeks ago, I went to a job interview, and it didn't go so well. Since I was fresh out of school, everybody wanted experience. And then I just drove up to Loma Linda Medical Center and didn't have an appointment or anything. And I just went and started talking to some people, and the medical director of the OR started talking to me, and before I knew it, he's giving me an interview, and they offered me a full-time position right on the spot.
Gee whiz. And,
I just...
Did you take it?
Of course. I start on Monday, and I just know that was the Lord, because, I mean...
Yeah, it's the Lord.
Well, I know I was supposed to... I went in there to you know, just to ask questions, and then I meet the big head honcho there, and just want to thank the Lord for that, and my beautiful wife. Everybody gives us a lot of jokes because we're very young, but I just want to thank him for just giving us our health and all the support and love, and just for letting us be here and loving him. And
wow. Well, it's obvious the Lord gave you that job, and so every hour of that job, you dedicate that to him. That's his... Yeah,
definitely.
Boy, that's his gift. That's... You know, if the Lord tarries, you can tell your grandkids that story. I mean, you just don't walk into Loma Linda and walk out with more than what you went in with.
Hi, everyone. My name is Brittany, and I just recently got back from an overseas trip. And the Lord really spoke to my heart. Where I was, they just had these great cathedrals. They had these beautiful monuments and these amazing images. And the saddest thing was that they really had no assurance. Mm-hmm. They had no hope, no faith. They just, you know, you listen to them and they talk about how people will migrate on their knees to these places to visit these icons. The Black Madonna, for one, was kind of bone-chilling for all these people to worship something that was stone still. Mm-hmm. And I just thank God that we have an assurance, that we have a grace, and that we have the knowledge of the grace that God's given us. And I just thank him for that, because it's so much more than just a stone statue. It's a real relationship. And I think that's something that we should all be thankful for. Thank you.
So true. Hey, Rose, Lisa and I had a great time today at lunch with Joey and Rebecca and Katie. I don't know if you knew that or not, but we had a wonderful time with them today. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, she is cute.
Yeah.
Did she climb up for the stairs for you and down?
She did. She did.
Well, I love to worship the Lord. And tonight when at this Thanksgiving service, I was thinking, I think the first verse you said was in Leviticus, and it was about a sacrifice of praise.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what why I'm standing here. There's a song that that says, when praise demands a sacrifice, I'll worship even then, surrendering the dearest things in life. And if devotion costs me all, he'll find me faithful to his call. When praise demands a sacrifice, God hears the words of praise we lift, yet I have found he's honored more by what I'm willing to lay down.
Hmm.
I'm thankful that the Lord, when the Lord subtracts, he multiplies. His thoughts are higher than ours. I thank him that he brings our emotions in line with our choices. I'm thankful for my children and my son. I'm very blessed for my granddaughter and my daughter-in-law and all my children.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably understand what I'm saying more than anybody else here. But anyhow, I'm thankful that the Lord, in his wisdom, his thoughts are higher.
Amen. Thank you, Liz.
Hey, Pastor Jack, I just saw you at Starbucks, man.
Right on.
Thank God for Starbucks. No, I'm just kidding.
We've got to meet at Starbucks until we get our own coffee house.
It was good. Pretty much, I got my best friend right there, and I got my cousin back here, and they don't even know this, but around this time in my life, I wasn't really walking with the Lord like 3-4 years ago, and friends of mine, they were going to go party, and I didn't end up going with them. And I was so mad, I remember that I couldn't go with them. And then the next day they called me and they told me that they got shot up and a bullet went through the empty seat that could have been me. And God totally saved my life, you know what I mean? I mean, it's insane. And I just thank God for just giving me like a life to just keep living. I want to thank this church. You guys are so awesome. I mean, I just got back from a retreat. I met a lot of cool people, and I met this like special girl up there. She's like really cool. We're becoming really great friends. We're becoming really great friends, and she's like really, really pretty. She's
just
beautiful.
Friends though. But you're
yeah,
just friends.
She's like really, really pretty, and she's like an angel. She's yeah, but
But they're just friends.
We're just friends, totally friends. And I just want to thank God for that, and I want to thank God for just like everyone in this church. It's so amazing. You guys have blessed my heart. Pastor Eve and wherever you are, I love the Frenchman. Where are you at, dog? I love you, man. And everyone, yeah. And that's it. I love you guys. I mean that. I love you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, if you're 18 to 30-ish, you got to come out Friday nights. God's doing a great thing with Extreme. Yes.
Hi, my name is Jackie Fernandez, and I'm just thankful for being able to have a place to worship. I know in other places, in other countries, that prayer time, worship time like this with everybody in this mm-hmm. place, it's not something that you're free to do. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit each time I'm in this place, amen. That he is very strong. And that this is the one place that I could really feel him. I mean, I've been going to another church before, another religion. But this is the one place that I had found a relationship with God. I've been praying for years to find a home church, and we've only been here, I think, about 6 months. And this is the church that I've found, that I call my home church, and I'm very thankful that we have a pastor who is God-fearing, who loves God so much that he teaches his words. Mm-hmm. And I'm also, lastly, very thankful that, because when we first came here, I think you were in your other church at the old church. Mm-hmm. The family did not want to leave the religion, so I held back. But somehow I'm drawn back, and I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and God has heard my answer. and that I'm able to bring my family here. And last Sunday, my husband went forward to...
Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. To accept the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Though my kids, we've been together, we've been worshiping ever since they were infants. They're not quite... In my thoughts and in my heart, I think they're not quite ready yet, but they come here and they pray, and I pray that in God's timing that He will call them in all in His time.
Yes.
So I'm very thankful to you for spreading the word, for letting us find that relationship with God.
Oh, that's great.
I'm so thankful for resilience. First, my parents made it here from Mexico. My mom has cancer. It's probably the last time that we're going to be spending Thanksgiving together. We know they've been pretty sick for quite a while, and so this has been a real blessing that we're going to be able to do that. And I'm thankful for the call ministry. I'm thankful for the many fruits that are in this church and how it's touched my life and the things that it's done. I literally came out of surgery and didn't survive it, and the Lord gave me my life back, and I know that that was to serve Him, mm-hmm. and in its fullest. And when I was in high school, I wrote a poem in my yearbook. I was thinking about it when she was speaking about Psalms, and it is, the secret of living is learning to pray. It's asking our Father for strength for the day. Is trusting completely in His boundless and grace, and knowing, trusting completely in His boundless and grace, walking by faith every mile that we plod, and knowing our prayers bring us closer to God. And I just want to say, if you know, you pray every day, lay down your sins at His feet, show compassion, get out and let the church use you, let Him use you where He wants you to be used at. It is such a wonderful blessing and such a wonderful high. I'm not shaking tonight, by the way. I've been diagnosed with Parkinson's, and for some reason, I'm just not even shaking. So, you know, I don't understand, because I right before I came, I had to lay down 20 minutes before I came, and, you know, just... every time I get back up out of my hospital bed, which I have a hospital bed I get up and down of, He just allows me so much, and He uses me on a daily basis everywhere I go, everyone I meet. And I'm so blessed. I'm just so blessed. And thank you for the pastor of this church. Thank you for Lisa. Thank you for the Ding Dong Ditch. That was wonderful. We were really blessed. And just... There's just on and on. I can't tell you how much my life experience has touched, and I hope that I can go out and teach others and show them compassion and share and just love and just continue to see God's love grow from the east to the west and from the north to the south, and just, you know, stay a part of this ministry and this church forever until I'm gone. Okay.
Thank you.
Hello, my name's Marilyn Snodgrass, and Rose Roper is my sister. Thanksgiving is a day that brings back memories of our father. He was the one who cooked the turkey and brought it beautifully to the table, carved it there just meticulously, made this incredible stuffing, and we always had to go the night before. So I'm thinking about him tonight, because I always would go for the night before and have to have a taste of that before he actually stuffed it. And so I think of him so much. But what I really think about is the incredible love he had for the Lord and what an incredible legacy he gave to us and to our family. And it's just something that I treasure so much. And my sister Rose has, I want to thank God for her tonight, because she's been an incredible, wonderful person in my life who's walked beside me through many hard times. And she has such incredible passion and boldness. And I thank God for that. And I know she's been such an influence on her son, Joey. And so I'm just grateful to her for all that she's done in my life and all of our family's life. And I also want to thank the Lord for my youngest of three, Scott, who's 16, who I've just seen come alive. He's been going to Harvest, and I'm not from this church. I live in Yucaipa. But we go there on Sunday nights, and it's just been so wonderful. So I'm just thanking God for, as I see the generations, you know, keep hungering after him. Mm. And so I just have to thank and praise the Lord for it tonight.
Absolutely. Very good. Yes.
Hi, my name is Jason Reiner. My hands are clammy, so I'm a little nervous right now. But I just want to thank the Lord today, basically, for coming down, dying on the cross, and putting us in a congregation, you know, as we have it today. Because if you think about it, without a congregation, there's no communion. There's no, you know, relationship between one another to help each other out. You know, we'd just be alone in our homes. You know, so I thank the Lord for doing that for us and being able to have, you know, a lot of believers, you know, come to him and come to one another that, to other people that don't believe in the Lord, to help them come to the Lord. Second of all, I'm hoping that I can become, you know, of any help to those who, you know, who need help in their lives for whatever ailments that they may have, whether it's alcohol, drugs, whatever, because of my particular experience recently. You know, I had to seek help through someone I really didn't know that well. Because sometimes we find our families and friends, you know, they don't really see our problems as you would think they would or expect them to see it. You know, I actually went to someone, another source for help, and amazingly, I got it, and I'm where I'm at today, you know, being in a church and being able to say this in front of a bunch of people I don't know is awesome. So, you know, don't ever be afraid to seek help, even if it has to be someone that you don't know too well. Because it's just an amazing thing to be able to, you know, come to your senses, you know, realize that you have a problem, issue, whatever it may be. And, you know, sometimes our family overlooks things, you know, we kind of carry a facade that we're happy where everything's good. But, you know, inside sometimes we're in pain. And if you have to reach to someone else that you don't know, just do it. Just don't think about it. Just do it. And when you come to your senses and you start realizing that the Lord can help, and if you actually see what I've gone through, which I can't explain tonight because it's a million words, so I just hope and pray for those people who do have problems that they are hiding. You know, just, you know, come out of the closet and just, you know, seek help, and you can do it. So it's awesome.
That's great. You know. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My name is Bethany, and I am thankful that the Lord answers prayer. I have two major instances in my life, and one of them was today. I've been praying about going on a missions trip and praying, knowing that I didn't have the money, and I prayed that the Lord would just, if he opened the door for me to go, that he'd provide the money. And this afternoon, I got a call, and it was Jeff, and he was saying, you know, we want you to go. Do you have the money? And I said, no, I don't. In about an hour, he called back later and said, do you still want to go? And I said, yeah, it's been an hour. And he said, well, then you're going. You've been sponsored. And God totally opened the door, and I wasn't expecting it. And it was just because he had called, asked me to step out in faith and go. And I'm very thankful to be able to go. And the other one is I have a good friend that's in Tel Afar, Iraq right now serving. And I got to talk to him last week. And I've been praying that God would protect them and work in the lives of the men in his unit that are not believers. When he went 2 months ago, was one of two believers, and God is immensely working in the unit, and he has men coming up to him on rooftops while he's reading his Bible and said, can you tell about Jesus? Like, who is this guy and what's going on? And last week when we were talking, I said, how are things going and how is your safety? And he said, well, we've had a couple close calls. Last week we were pulling security on a wall, and we had insurgents fire on us. We had a couple rounds fired, and we fleed. And he said, we went back, and where we were standing, it was completely littered with bullet holes. Where we were standing, and we should have been shot and injured, and there was not a bullet in our Kevlar or on us, and we were totally protected. And he said, I turned to the guys that were with me and said, now do you believe that God's protecting us and that his angels are around us? And so I am very thankful that God's put him in the unit and that God is doing a ton of things in that unit to just show that he is faithful and to reveal himself to the men that don't know him. So,
you know, we're all, not we're all, Xavier Reese, his son, a couple weeks ago was shot in the chest by insurgents. His friend next to him was killed, and they shot him. And it's amazing. She was talking about how the Lord protecting people. The Kevlar vest that he had, he wound up. All he got was a bruise on his chest. Unfortunately, his friend that he signed up to go in the Marines with died that day. But we're hearing a lot of these things, and we're getting a lot of reports here. I'm getting them in emails and other forms of soldiers that are listening to our studies and stuff, and the stories of God's protection upon them, things where they should have died. And it's obvious to all of them that God, even the non-believers, are saying, God protected us today. They're knowing this. They're seeing God at work. We're going to need to hurry. If you have children, we're probably in a lot of trouble right now with children's ministry. So we need to hurry up.
Hi, my name is Christina, and I'm really thankful for a lot of the ministries that Calvary has, and one of them that I have been to through is The Call, and it's really been like getting me out there and telling people about Jesus, and some of them have actually accepted, so it's really cool.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wait. How old are you?
I'm 11.
11 years old? You know what? You are absolutely encouraging. That is so great. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay, and I just have a quick one. About 6 months ago, my husband and I went on a marriage retreat, and we were so excited to just have time away by ourselves. We have four children. And so my husband and I said, you know, let's just make our own retreat. So we basically went to the first couple seminars and then ditched it and spent the rest of the time up in our room. So about 6 weeks later, my husband came home from work, and I greeted him with a little paper bag and three tests inside. Pregnancy test, because I didn't believe it. I was in such a state of shock. So he came home from work and he goes, how did this happen? I'm all, remember our own retreat that we made? So we will always look back on Calvary Chapel retreats as the gift that keeps on giving.
That's good.
I'm just thankful for life. I had a pretty scary incident about a week and a half ago. I am a cowgirl. I do have a horse. That horse either bucked me off or threw me off. I don't have any memory of it.
Wow.
About 10 hours are gone completely. Ended up in the hospital, not knowing how I got there. So I'm just very thankful that God has his hand on us and we are protected. Like the Kevlar vests, you know, he just, for whatever reason, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thankful for that. I'm also a school teacher, and I had one of my students, she was a student of mine last year. She comes back and says hi to me all the time. She lost her dad just recently, and he was sick last year, and she came up to me today and gave me a handwritten card with some candies and just said, thank you for helping me through that hard time, and the words that you said to me when I lost my dad, I still remember them. And so for those of you, and most of the people who have children just left, but for those of you who have kids and are raising your kids to be God-fearing, keep it up.
Mm.
Do what's hard because it's right.
Yeah.
And they will not depart from it later. They may have their trials, they may have their struggles, but they will follow the Lord. And I'm just blessed to have kids like that come back and say things to me like that, because it's hard to be a teacher. If you're not a teacher, it's hard to be a teacher. We give, and those are the moments when we get filled back up again.
Yeah.
Because students come back and say things like that. So thank you for raising godly kids. And thanks to the Lord for protecting me and
Amen.
Allowing me to still be a cowgirl.
Amen. Thanks, Michelle. Yes.
Hello, my name is Tirsa Kovats, and I just want to say thank you, God, for giving me the courage to stand here. Can you just stay standing next to me? This Sunday, my husband and my 7-year-old and my 3-year-old we were standing in front of our door saying, they're coming.